Welcome to Storybrooke.
Enjoy your stay.
And welcome to Onceable, episode number 107. Today we're going to be talking about Once Upon a Time, season 6, episode 14, page 23. My name is Karen, and I'm joined by just Caitlin today. We're doing a two-woman show because the others were out of town and weren't able to join us. But you know what? It's going to be a party anyway.
I thought it was just because we're the two coolest.
I mean, yeah, but we're not supposed to tell the others that.
I mean, it's just, it goes without saying.
This is true. No, we love them a lot, but it's kind of fun doing just us two.
It's true. We don't usually get to do just two people.
I know. And we're both on Rewatchable, but now that you're hosting, you and I aren't on episodes anymore together.
I know. We don't really talk that much anymore. That story.
We will change that for sure. Well, as usual, if you guys would like to get into contact with us, you can find us on Twitter at Onceable or on this post on Hypeable.com and any of our other Once Upon a Time-centric posts. Please leave us comments. We do like to check them out and hopefully read them on air. But let's talk about page 23 right now. Was this a thumbs up or a thumbs down for you?
Thumbs up, I think.
Okay. Hesitant
thumbs up. No rumble, which is like automatically already one thumb up.
Yeah.
And you know what? I thought this was a really good episode for Regina. So I'm going to go with thumbs up.
Cool. I'm going to go with thumbs up too. I loved the Regina storyline in so many ways. And I was a little worried about the Emma and Hook storyline. But in the end, I'm going to say that I'm cautiously optimistic about how this is going to play out. So I feel pretty comfortable with that too. So it's going to be a definite thumbs up for me. Let's jump into our favorite quotes though. I'm not going to lie. Yours was my first instinct, but I'm kind of glad you took it so then I could have my other one too. So why don't you tell us your favorite quote?
So mine was between the evil queen and Robin, and the evil queen says, "I'm a queen, not some burlap-loving peasant who sleeps in dirt." And Robin replies, "Excuse me, I sleep on hay, which is on dirt, but there is separation."
I loved that line so much because he was so offended.
I know. He's like, "Excuse me, I sleep on hay," which, wait a second, dirt's involved, but not the way you're implying.
"I must step above dirt, thank you very much."
Get it right.
Yeah. And my quote is from the Evil Queen, and this is after she's gotten the love from Regina, so she's, you know, trying to be a better person. She goes up to Snow, and she just goes, "And Snow, I'm sorry for what I put you through again." And it wasn't supposed to be a funny line. Like, it was a very serious, heartwarming moment, and you really feel for the Evil Queen and her apology, but I was just like, again, like, there's been so many times that she has put Snow through hell and she's once again apologizing for all of it. And it was just, it really hit me.
It's again times infinity.
Yeah. So really this episode was sort of broken down into two main parts. Like we said, there was no Rumple. There weren't really any other storylines coming in until maybe the very, very end. But we basically had Captain Swan drama and then Regina and the Evil Queen drama. So let's go with Captain Swan drama first, because this was sort of the B plot to Regina's A plot, but obviously still going to have some repercussions. So Caitlin, I know you wanted to talk about this. Kick it off for us.
Okay, so this episode saw kind of the whole issue with Hook remembering having killed David's father coming mm-hmm. to a head, but kind of in an unexpected way. Hook goes out of his way to, well, first he gets the advice from Nemo, who I was happy to see again.
Yeah.
I really like that relationship. He needs that kind of father figure who doesn't suck in his life. Because he has not had that.
Yeah, although, I mean, to be fair, he does have David, but...
I mean, he's older than David.
Yeah.
So he kind of abstractly tells Nemo what's going on, and Nemo's like, you should just tell her what's going on. Mm-hmm. Like, it's going to be a problem if you don't, so just be honest. And Hook's like, I think I'm going to do the stupid thing. And so he uses the dream catcher and puts memory in and is going to burn it because why not? And Emma catches him and she's mad.
Honestly, I thought this was a dream. Like, I thought this was a nightmare because, like, it was so convenient and so contrived and literally all his worst nightmares coming to fruition. I was like, he's going to wake up and be like, that was really scary. Maybe I should just tell her. But then it was real.
It was real. And then it turned into a nightmare.
Yes.
Emma's mad. Hook thinks it's mad for him having killed David's father. It's for him lying about it and not trusting her and coming to her with it right away. She's like, hello, do you know who this family is? We would forgive you. Come on, pay attention. Yeah. Have you not been on this show since season two?
I like that they took it in this direction, honestly, because it would have been really upsetting if Emma was mad at him for killing him, considering that Killian is now, like, a vastly different person, and he's grown so much. And if she hadn't, like, recognized that, it would have been like, what are we even doing here? But she did, and it was more about the lying, which, I mean, if you're going to have to choose between the two scenarios happening at all, I'd rather it be the one that did.
Yeah. So she pretty much reams him out for not being forthcoming and gives him the ring back, which was a little dramatic. Because it's clear by the end of the episode that she wasn't expecting that to have been a full-on breakup. Mm-hmm. So maybe don't be so dramatic with, like, the giving the ring back. Just thought. But this pushes Killian to realize he still has a ways to go, the man that he believes Emma deserves. So Nemo conveniently is getting ready to leave. So he decides that he should go with them for a while, which at that point I'm just like, what are you doing?
Running away from his problems.
Like, you've learned so much. Why have you not learned this? He thinks he has noble intentions, that he's going to make himself a better man. Mm-hmm. But really, no, that was a terrible idea.
The funny thing is, he became a better man because of Emma, because of her influence, because of the influence of her family. I think that's always been inside of him, and I don't want to negate the things that he's gone through on his own and his personal choices to become better, but he has to recognize the influence that she has had on his life. So what makes him think that running away is the solution? It isn't. Like, they should work through this together because it affects her and her family as much as it affects him. And that is just, it's very dismissive, him running away.
Yeah, it just seems like he hasn't had all the development that we know he's had.
Mm-hmm.
So, did not love that. But he's getting ready to leave, and after everything has finished up, Snow comes and finds him and says, like, hey, everything's great. One of the Evil Queen got a happy ending, and Killian's been going on about the whole villains don't get a happy ending thing. So finding out that the Evil Queen is getting one is a big revelation to him. So he decides, you know what? Gonna stay. We'll work this out. So he just goes to say goodbye to Nemo.
Mm-hmm. Which I was so happy that, like, Hook came to that conclusion. And that was a really sweet scene between him and Snow.
I know, I really liked that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nice to see the way Hook has like integrated into that family.
Yeah, like she could not stop smiling. Like her smile was so big when she was like, "You're gonna be part of this family. I'm so excited. I'm so proud of you." And like she was just practically combusting. And it was, you know, it's like this right here. Like, how can you think somebody who loves you so much and loves the what you provide for her daughter could ever truly like hate you for what you did in your past when they know how far you've come? Like I kept wanting to be like, Hook, have a little faith. Like this is, you know, the charming family. Like if anybody will forgive you, it's going to be them.
Yeah. It does seem like he's not giving them enough credit, but at the same time, I kind of don't even think he's actually thinking about them as much as he thinks he is. I think it's far more about himself and his own insecurities.
I think that's kind of fair too, because I did like that he was like, he told Emma, look, this isn't just about you and your family. This is about me. This is about the man that I used to be and the man that I potentially could still be. And I think that does play into his insecurities a little bit, but I think he wants to be better for Emma as much as he wants to be better for himself. And I think that's really important, actually, to keep in mind. Like, it's a good thing to change for somebody else because you want to be there for them. You want to be the person that you think they deserve. But you also have to be the person that you deserve. And the fact that he is thinking about himself is a good thing. I think he's borderline, like the running away thing again, not great, but I'm glad that he wants to be a better person for himself too.
Yeah, it's almost like for him that villainy is like an addiction that he has overcome and he's afraid of backsliding. He's gone to like Villains Anonymous and he's got his like villain sober chip, except that like got thrown away when he became the Dark One. He's like, that's probably playing into this too, actually, now that I think about it, because he had a recent slide into villainy. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't his fault that he was put in the position of becoming the Dark One, but I'm sure it was a heady reminder of who he used to be. So he went through a lot of change and then had this massive backslide into being like far worse than he ever was, just as a pirate. And that probably shook him quite a bit.
I would imagine, yeah. And, you know, we have talked about villainy as an addiction, as a drug in the past, and the way that Regina is constantly trying to overcome it and constantly trying to move on with her life, and yet always struggling, because when you do have an addiction, it's always going to be a factor in your life. You can be sober for 20, 30, 40 years, but it's always a possibility that something can happen that will trigger you to relapse. And with Rumpel, obviously, like he's decided basically not to give up on his drug. And we see the effect that that has on his life. So Killian is constantly surrounded by not only evil and the potential for himself to slide back into villainy, but people who are still struggling with it as well. And I think, you know, I'd really like to see some scenes between Regina and Killian, some quiet one-on-one scenes where they can talk about something like this, because Regina has come so far and yet she does still struggle. And I think Killian has also come far, but he's maybe not as secure in his heroism as Regina is these days. And can you just imagine a nice little talk between the two of them? Like, that would be so nice.
That would be excellent, because they have perhaps more in common than just about anybody on the show.
Yeah, I'd say so.
I think there's a lot going on with him, that which was why it was nice that he was going to see Archie, and then he's just not going to go see Archie, I guess.
He's like, I'm not going to see Archie. I know what Archie's going to say. He's going to tell me to stay and talk to Emma, but I don't want to.
Don't wanna. Mom, Dad, I'm running away from home.
How's that going to work out for him? Not well.
Clearly not well. He makes the decision to stay. He goes to say goodbye to Nemo. It's, you know, lovely. Nemo's glad that he's going to stay. And then, of course, because we can't have nice things, Gideon submerges the ship because he says that Hook cannot be in Storybrooke for what he has planned. So basically the ship takes off and I guess they can't like surface it on their own or something. The controls must have been taken over by Gideon because he wants to separate Emma and Hook for whatever he has planned. So dun dun dun.
That was beautiful.
That was amazing.
Did you see the promo for next week?
Yes, I did.
It looks like Emma's giving up. She's ready to move on already. And, like, I can't say I blame her because there's been a lot of upset in her life, especially in the romance department. But, I mean, her heart is broken right now. So I'm trying to be sympathetic, but I'm just like, Emma, no. Killian's trying so hard right now.
I know, everything would be so much better if there were cell phones.
Seriously.
Like, come on, people.
Text. I'm in the... I'm underwater.
I did not run away. SOS.
Fishy emoji. if only. Well, we'll have to see how that comes around. I mean, honestly, it's going to be fine. It might take an episode or two, and I think they're going to have to talk some things out. But now that Emma knows what's up, and now that Killian has decided to get back to her, I don't want to call it a confrontation because I don't think it will be, but the discussion that needs to happen will happen, and I think on the other side of that, it's all going to be good.
Yeah, so the question then becomes, why is Gideon trying to separate the two of them? What does he have planned that Killian can't be around for? He would screw it up if he was there.
Probably nothing good.
Yeah.
But we'll have to wait until next week to find that out. In the meantime, let's talk about the A plot for this episode, which was Regina and the Evil Queen. So basically, you know, we know that the Evil Queen has escaped and she's got Robin with her and he's willing to help her escape to another land or whatever, but that's not what she wants to do. She wants to kill Regina. And the way she's going to do that is use Robin as bait, which she's like, dude, this is not what I signed up for. Like, I was willing to help you. You've tied me here with magical rope. I can't escape. I love how he thought he was being so clever trying to escape from that chair. And she's like, yeah, not going to happen.
Yeah, and the ropes just come right back up. He's like, ugh.
I'm called the Evil Queen. You don't think I would have thought of something to keep you in that chair? God. But the Evil Queen goes and talks to Henry. And it was a nice moment, to tell you the truth. Like, she's very non-apologetic for who she is, but you can tell she still loves him. And I like that they kept that in there, because that's when we first met Regina in season one, that was never a question. Yeah, she was kind of evil. She was pretty evil back then. And she was unapologetic for everything that she did in her past and what she wanted to do, but like, she never stopped loving Henry. That was never in question. And I like that they brought that up again.
It's interesting that, to jump ahead a little bit, that like, what changes everything is that she gets love in her heart, but like, she's already had some.
Yeah.
All along. Like, she actually had this love for Henry all the time. It might have been interesting to see if that could have been like expanded, not just like infusing some in.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we did see her heart, and while most of it was black, there is a portion that was still red. So we knew there was still good in her, but I guess, and it's really unfortunate to say this, but I guess Henry just wasn't enough to make her want to change her ways. And I don't think that's a slight on like Henry or anything like that, but you can love one person very deeply and still hate the rest of the world and still want to see the world burn. Whereas she realizes now that her heart's been infused, that there's love in other places, and that the people like Snow and Emma love Regina and have found a way to love Regina despite everything she's done. I think that is what really opened up her eyes.
It's interesting, like, the different ways that they are looking at love and what it is and what it does to us.
Yeah. Which is something Once Upon a Time has always done and probably will always continue to do. It always comes back to that love, whether it's romantic or family or, you know, friends who are like family. And it's a good, it's perfect for a fairy tale based world. It is, you know, essentially what a lot of the Disney stories are based around. So it is nice to see that. So the Evil Queen has the shears and she's going to separate herself from Regina. She passes along page 23, which is the note that makes Regina realize that she's got Robin and she's using him as bait. And so they're going to meet up and once and for all, they're going to be separated and one's going to kill the other. There's not enough room in the town for the both of them. And it ends tonight. There was a lot of cliche lines in this episode. I didn't hate it, to tell you the truth, because it's always a little over the top. But yeah, there were a lot of those good one-liners that made it into the trailer, too.
It's very Western showdown at high noon kind of thing.
Yeah. But with swords, which honestly, if there's going to be a showdown, I'd rather it be swords because that's just badass. We do get some flashbacks, though, in this episode. And we start off with the Evil Queen looking for Snow and coming upon Tinkerbell, which was very nice to see her again.
Yeah, that was a good tie-in of everything that's been going on.
Mm-hmm. And it really keeps the timeline straight because this is after she's already walked away from Robin once when she sees him and she decides that she doesn't want to confront the possibility of having another true love, which is why Tinkerbell comes back in and says, look, I gave you the potential for happiness and you literally walked away from it. What's going on? And what really struck me in this scene is the Evil Queen's insistence that she loved her townspeople. Did that seem like kind of out of character to you?
I don't know. It seems like Regina, like as the Evil Queen, is at least at that point is trying to convince herself more than anything, because the whole idea was, you know, you'll never have the love of the people. And we know that it was like love that basically broke her in the first place. So it seems like that's a big sensitivity for her. So I can see it doesn't bother me that she's trying to like convince herself almost like I may be doing some horrible things, but really I'm doing it for the right reasons because I love you.
Yeah. Which is super manipulative. And like, I don't know, it feels kind of gross to me, but like, I don't know. I think you are right, because especially given what comes in later, like her and her dad go off to kind of find a solution to all of this. And her dad talked to Tinkerbell and is trying to find a positive and light magic way of helping his daughter. And she immediately rejects that and uses her mother's spell book to find Snow White. She thinks she enchants it to discover the person that she hates most, which is herself. And like, dude, I called that and I was so proud of myself. I was like, what if the arrow comes back to her? And then it went up to the castle and I was like, oh, okay. And it stuck into the wardrobe. I was like, there's going to be a mirror in there. I know it. And there was. I was so proud.
I saw that coming too.
But given what you just said about her trying to convince herself and her trying to convince herself that she's got this love for other people and like that's good enough, it's all just a way to cover up the fact that she does hate herself. She hates the person she's become, and yet she doesn't find a way to correct that. This discovery, while I think it would make a lot of people wake up and change themselves, it doesn't for the Evil Queen. Although I kind of love that it doesn't, obviously, because we get all of those stories about the Evil Queen and we love seeing her on screen, but it makes it that much more important when Regina sees herself in the mirror, remembers this moment, and decides to do something different.
Whenever I see her with her father, I always think about, you know, what eventually happens to him.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
And it seems even more heartbreaking to know that the person she hates the most is herself. The person that's living, that she has, like, the most capacity for love for, is her father. Mm-hmm. And then just, like, the tie between that and how sad he is for her when that comes out, it breaks my heart.
And to think she hates herself now, wait until she uses her father to enact the curse.
Ugh, it's just, she just sort of, yeah, like you said, she doesn't make any changes. She just sort of dives in further. Like, it's like, I can't do anything else to change this. Might as well go full tilt with it.
Yeah. But, like Regina says, she doesn't regret walking away from Robin the first time. She doesn't necessarily regret everything that has happened in her past because it's led her to this point. And this is why she has the ability to look at the Evil Queen, you know, look herself in the face, literally, and decide, no, I'm going to be better for the both of us. And, of course, we get, like, the sword fight. And we get this moment of, okay, who's actually going to win? We assume Regina's going to win, but is she really going to kill the Evil Queen? Did you think she was going to?
I was expecting her to, like, reabsorb her other
half. Me too.
Half. Like, I wasn't thinking they would continue being two existing halves. Like, mm-hmm. I thought she would just, like, pull her into herself again and be like, I acknowledge this part of myself. I love my whole self now. And I don't need to have two halves of it anymore.
Yeah. I want to talk about that whole situation in a second, but I wasn't expecting her to kill the Evil Queen and actually found myself rooting for her not to. I was like, don't stab her, don't stab her, don't stab her. This isn't the right move because it wouldn't have allowed her to confront the truth, which is that this is a part of her. I mean, it's physically separated from her right now. But again, like she says a little bit later, after she makes her decision, everything that she did as the Evil Queen has led her to this place. And so without the Evil Queen, she couldn't possibly be the person she is now. And even though her life is not perfect by any means, she's finally becoming the person that she thinks she should be, that she wants to be. And I think if they had her kill off the Evil Queen, it really wouldn't have made this story really hit home. So I'm glad that she didn't die. However, the melting of the hearts thing was interesting.
You know, just to go back to what you were saying before, like that Regina's accepting herself. It's like the exact opposite of what Killian's doing.
Yes.
In this episode. They're mirroring each other once again. Mm-hmm. Though he kind of, like her, like comes to his senses by the end of it.
Yeah.
So like, again, their paths of being redeemed villains are sort of coming, mm-hmm. are still being paralleled to each other.
Exactly. And then there's Rumpel off in the dark, dark corner. No hope.
He's in such a dark corner, he wasn't even in this episode.
Yeah, basically. So yeah, what did you think about the melding of the hearts? Because I was surprised too that she didn't just reabsorb her. I mean, at this point, I don't know that she necessarily could because their connection was broken.
I mean, the show makes up rules.
Yes.
As it goes. So, like, I wasn't going to question it if she could just reabsorb herself anyway. I mean, if they're going to go this way, I kind of like it. It gives her a chance. Like, it's interesting to see that she's basically creating, like, an earlier version of herself from, like, that we saw on the show. But is giving her a different path to go down, so can kind of see the potential of a slightly different path than the one this version of herself is on. So, I mean, if she wasn't going to reabsorb herself, I feel like this is the best possible outcome she could have had.
I agree. It's really interesting, but I feel like it also unnecessarily complicates the story. And maybe we'll never see this version of the Evil Queen again. And if not, like, I guess I'm kind of okay with that, because Brittany put the show notes together for us for this week. And she says, now the Evil Queen is sad and not as interesting, at least we'll always have the flashbacks. Like, I kind of do get that, because she's still very much the Evil Queen, but she's got this, you know, humanity inside of her now, where she kind of just feels bad about everything she's done. And I'm glad, you know, character growth that's happened, but we do love watching the Evil Queen much in the same way that we love watching the real Rumpelstiltskin play around and pull all of those strings.
I mean, I guess Regina just now has, like, her doppelganger from Earth 2.
Yeah.
Hanging out, like.
That's what I keep thinking of, because, like, they sent the Evil Queen to the Wish universe. That's the only way I can call it. And I was like, wait, did they send her in the past? Like, I was really worried, and I was like, that would so screw up the timeline so much. And I couldn't figure out exactly what was going on here until we realized, no, this is the Robin we had just seen. He's back where he was doing him. And she meets up with him again, and this does give her a second chance, gives him a second chance. They're separated. Who knows if we'll ever see her again, because I don't know if they can necessarily travel to and from that world anymore. I guess with Henry's powers, they probably could, but it's tricky, to say the least.
Yeah, I get the feeling that they're just, like, gone,
writing her off.
Yeah, which then it just, my reaction to this was sort of, it felt like a waste of Robin of bringing him back for that. I don't know, it ended up being, the point for Regina was that her happy ending isn't necessarily what she thought it was.
Yeah.
Did they really need to, like, do all this convoluted stuff to get to that point with that character?
I mean, obviously no, but Once Upon a Time tends to do that sort of thing. I will say that I'm glad if this is truly the end of Robin's story, and it does feel like it is, I'm glad that they did this the way that they did, just because we learned that he's not the Robin from before, and yet we learned that he's not a bad guy either. And this gives him the potential to move on with his life and kind of have learned lessons from Regina and still be around the Evil Queen. And they can kind of, who knows if there will ever be anything romantic between them, but even if they're just friends, I feel like they can help support each other, move on now that they've kind of seen how the other people live and all of that. And it was a little bit of a waste, but I feel like for the actor, at least, I think it's nice to get him back, considering the way that he exited the show and, you know, the little bit of drama that was around that. And also just nice for fans to kind of get a little taste of Robin again, so it never really feels like he's gone for good.
Oh yeah, I wasn't, like, unhappy that they were bringing the character back. I guess I'm just a little underwhelmed with what they did with him.
Mm-hmm. That's fair, because to be honest, he ended exactly where he started.
Yeah.
So, what is the point?
And they said, like in interviews, they're like, we're bringing him back for an arc. Well, I guess they never said it was his own arc. It was just, it was Regina's arc.
Yeah.
And he was a piece of that.
But speaking of Regina, now she does have a little bit of the Evil Queen's darkness inside of her, but she still has her own light. So going forward, do you think this is going to have, like, do you think she's going to struggle more than she has been? Or do you think that, like, this is sort of the end of her struggling with her dark side, and now we'll be getting storylines where, you know, she struggles to find love, or she struggles to help the family, or something like that.
I don't think she'll ever stop struggling, like, with, like, she's her own Villains Anonymous character. Like, she's going to have to deal with that addiction for her the rest of her life, especially now that she's infused a bit more, but I don't think it'll be as much of a focus. Like, I think if we were looking at her specifically as a character, we would say, like, yeah, I think maybe she was struggling a little in this moment, but I don't think we're going to see, like, specific story focuses on her dealing with it as much anymore.
Which is good, because it has been 6 seasons, and although I like the slow burn way that they've handled Regina's darkness, I think it is time to infuse her with some happiness. And that's kind of a big question at this point, because she tried this thing with the new Robin and realized, like, no, he's not the same. So, like, her Robin is definitely gone. He's not coming back. She's got to find another happy ending. And yes, she's found a happy ending in the family she has now, but like we were saying before, Once Upon a Time is about love, and that love can be a love between family members, but everyone's always looking for the one, you know? And I think Regina, her whole story has centered around the fact that she keeps losing her true loves. And now I have to know, is there going to be another one? Is she going to accept that maybe she won't get that kind of happy ending? What do you think is going to happen?
I think at the end of the day, it's going to be like, she's going to realize that, like, Henry is her true love or something like that. That her love is going to come not from romance. Because I feel like if, thinking about it, that if they do go that route to, like, keep giving her partners and seeing if they work, it's like, it's almost like replacing the people who she loved in the first place that, like, kind of pushed her down the path, like Daniel and Robin. Like, I think it might be more fitting for her if her true happy ending is through just the family that she creates. When she had this horrible mother, she murdered her own father to enact a curse, and her sister is Zelina, and who wants that? But I mean, I think for her, like, creating this found family is going to eventually be where she finds her fulfillment.
I do like that in theory, because I like the idea that, yes, the show is based around finding your true love and all of that, especially given that Snow White and Prince Charming are kind of, I mean, Emma is very much our look into this world, but those two have been around significantly in that role since the beginning. But so, like, the idea that somebody doesn't find their true love in a romantic partner, they find their happy ending in a found family, love that idea. Because, you know, romance isn't for everybody, and finding your true love, finding that other person, doesn't mean that your life is fulfilled. And it does, if you don't have that, it doesn't mean your life's not fulfilled. So that's a good lesson to teach people through the show. However, I really want Regina to find somebody, because her whole story has centered around the love that she lost time and time again and how that affected her. And I guess her learning that finding that love doesn't necessarily mean everything is perfect, but I just want Regina to be happy and want her to have nice things. And it's fine if she never gets that, because I think she's become an incredible person. But I just want her to have it. I don't know that I have a good reason.
I mean, I don't know that her not having, like, another true love doesn't mean she isn't happy. Like, what if Robin was her true love? That's a sadness that she has to move past him, but she gets a happy ending in a sense that she is able to grieve and move on.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of fulfillment to be had. It just, in some ways, I can see how they would write it that, you know, it's the loss of a lover that, like, breaks her, basically, in the first place with Daniel. Mm-hmm. So, in some ways, it's a little icky to make it, like, finding the right one makes it all better. Like, maybe it's something else fills the hole. I can see that being a way to explore that.
Yeah, that's true. It's just this, a true love is all Regina ever wanted. And the idea that she wouldn't get it just makes me kind of sad.
I mean, the show doesn't want Regina to have nice things.
Not at all. Not at all. Let's see. That was pretty much the episode. Again, we didn't have a whole lot of other things popping in here or there. Anything else you wanted to discuss?
I got nothing.
Okay. Well, next week we have season 6, episode 15, A Wondrous Place. Aladdin, Jasmine, and Ariel are coming back.
What?
So that's kind of exciting.
Because that is totally logical.
Yeah.
I mean, Ariel makes sense for underwater.
Yes, yeah.
But the Aladdin and Jasmine, like, wait a second.
Yeah, Aladdin and Jasmine are on the ship with Hook. And it's a Hook-centric episode, so that's, yeah, that's pretty exciting. We are going to get, you know, Storybrooke moments, obviously, because we already talked about Emma a bit. But, yeah, it looks like it's going to explore a little bit more for Hook. And honestly, I'm kind of excited to check in on Aladdin and Jasmine as well.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've seen them.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember where we left Ariel last? It was a long time ago.
I know, that was a long time ago. I remember random interactions with Killian.
The funny thing about looking for information on any of these characters is you have to be very specific about which part of their story you're looking for, because there's literally before First Cursed, after First Cursed, before Second Cursed, during Second Cursed, after Second Cursed. That's the sort of thing that's on the Wikia for Once Upon a Time.
No wonder we can't remember anything.
Yeah, seriously. Says, she later helps contact Ursula's father, Poseidon, and bring him to Storybrooke so he can reconcile with his daughter. So that was the, remember when we had Ursula and Cruella?
Wow, that was a while ago.
Yeah. So it looks like she sort of just kind of disappeared. Yeah, Poor Unfortunate Soul was her latest appearance. And that seems to be the end of it. She and Ursula kind of work together and Poseidon can reconcile. From there, I guess she's just kind of stepped back, as a lot of characters do in Storybrooke, until they're useful again, which I like and don't like about the show. But aside from that, it should be exciting to see her again, kind of see what influence she has over the story, because she does have the ability to travel between magical worlds. So that could be useful.
Yeah, because where does Hook need to go?
Cool. Next week, hopefully the whole crew will be back again, and we shall talk about Hook. But yeah, thank you once again for tuning in, and until next time, I'm Karen.
And I'm Caitlin.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.